tomorrow in various ways, ways which often consume us. Lord, you've called us as a set apart people to be here and to be worshiping you and to acknowledge who you are in the midst of this very special holy day. We pray tonight, Father, that you would, just as you did through your angels to the shepherds, that you would make yourself known to us tonight, that you would reveal yourself, that you would bring about your holy visitation upon our lives in such a way that we might come to see you, to move close to you in response to your having moved close to us. Give us tonight the grace and the faith to do just that, and may our lives be transformed because of it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, awesome to be here tonight. Normally we would have dismissed the children during this time, but instead I'd love to invite any children that would like to come forward to come up and sit in the front row. There's a handful of chairs up here. If there's not enough chairs, then I didn't even invite you to come up and maybe sit down on the floor, even here in the middle. We won't spend a whole lot of time up here, but if you're up for it, I'd love for you to come and see if you can beat Wesley up here. I'm so glad that you're excited to get up here. It's one of the special parts of my life is to be able to share with you, children, a message that I think for all of us is very pertinent tonight, one that will be incredibly meaningful for us if we allow it to be. But as you came forward and you heard me invite you to come forward and you had to make a quick decision, am I going to go forward or am I going to kind of stay back in my seat? And some have decided to remain in your seats, and that's totally fine tonight, but some of you have come forward. And I just wonder, what do you think it is about getting up close, getting up front, that causes people to want to do it? Have you ever noticed this? If you try and go to like a sporting event, do you know that the seats kind of closest to the action are often the most expensive? Do you know that when you go to a gymnastics event or a sporting event or a music event or something at your school, if you don't get there early, where are the seats no longer available? Up front, right? People love to sit up. Now, that's not really true at church, is it? But pretty much everywhere else, people love to sit up front. What is it about that, do you think? What is it about being up front that people love? Yeah. Yeah, right. That's what makes this different from a lot of other places. But a lot of other places, people like to get up close so they can really see very well what's going on, right? And you get to see your dad do music all the time, so you're not as encouraged to be up front. But most of the time, people love to do that because they get to see it better, right? Yeah, that's awesome. What else motivates people to want to be up front? Can you think of anything? Kids in the audience, maybe, that didn't quite motivate you enough to move to the front. But yeah, Ethan. Yep, right, short people like you. I would never have said that, but since you've said it, that is one reason why people get up front, right? Yeah, because they want to be able to see, and they don't want to have too many obstructions. They don't want to have too many things in front of them that would cause them not to be able to see. It's great. Can you think of any other reasons why people love to be up front? Yeah? Yeah, so you can hear the best. Yeah, not always are there good speakers and things that allow you to hear as well from no matter where you're sitting. So a lot of times people want to get close in order to be able to hear well. The experience, right? To be able to not miss out on the experience. Now, when you sit up front here, you get to see some things more closely and more accurately that maybe others farther back don't get to see. For example, you get to see the altar, and you kind of get to see some of the texture that's on this cloth in a way that maybe others wouldn't get to see. You might get to see the godly play display more clearly. You might be able to see the colors a little more clearly, right? You might be able to see that they're actually three-dimensional and that they come off of the page. You might actually be able to see some of the detail of those statues. You get to see it better, right? You get to get more accurate view of it. Now, on my way in, I don't know if you got here in time, but on my way in, there were some brownies on that table. Did you happen to get one of them? Yeah. I got one of them. And so you sitting up front, you get to actually see if I got it all out of my teeth, right? I worked really hard at it, but I didn't use a mirror, so I'm not totally sure if I got all the brownies out. But if I didn't, you'd be able to see that. My daughters tell me that sometimes I put my cologne on a little too strong, right? So you could know that better than maybe people back there, right? I actually noticed while I was getting dressed tonight that there's a few threads that are kind of sticking out from the bottom of my pants. Most people don't want to, like, announce that, but you can see that, can't you? Can you see that thread there? They can't see that back there. You get a really front row seat to a lot of what's going on, and you also perhaps get to look into my eyes in a way, and I get to look into yours in a way that others might not be able to see. That's right. We get to look into each other's eyes in a way that not everybody can. And we get to see each other as we truly are. You children, and the children, I would want everyone here in this space tonight to know this, that we have just an incredible curriculum for our children's ministry called Godly Play. And it's designed around stories from the Bible and from the church year that are designed to help our children to get to know God better, get to know the stories of God better, and to actually find themselves within that story and to develop vocabulary and language that allows them to talk about and think about God in a way that is meant to move them into deeper and deeper faith. And so what we have on display here tonight are the Godly Play stories that have come from the season of Advent, as well as the white one that's set apart for Christmas Day. And each of them have stories that draw our children into a deeper understanding of who God is and what He's done throughout the course of history. And they're very effective, and I love it. But you, sitting up close, recognize these, don't you? You've seen these before because you have encountered them during your Godly Play. I wonder if you also can tell me what this is. I hear this is pretty popular stuff. Can anybody tell me what this is? Boom. Model magic, right? I don't know where this stuff was when I was a kid. We called it Play-Doh, but evidently this has got some other features that Play-Doh doesn't have. And what I've learned about this is that this is the stuff that after kind of the organized instruction of Godly Play happens, and the children are able to go to various stations and to play with the stories and to encounter the stories more deeply. This one sells out first, right? This is the one that everybody wants to get to, and I think it has something to do with the fact that you get to touch it, right? You get to feel it. You get to smell it. Just kind of like the same benefits of sitting up close. I think model magic is pretty popular because you get to feel it and touch it and experience it. I just might have to ask one of my kids to bring some home with him one Sunday so I can play longer with it. But I want you to know tonight, and I don't want just you all to know, but I want you to begin with me to wonder, right? You're learning to wonder within the context of Godly Play. I wonder, we ask questions, and I wonder tonight, and I wonder if you would wonder with me, if you've ever wanted to know what God is like, if you've ever wanted to know what He thinks, to know what God feels, to know how God views certain things. Tonight, on Christmas Eve, we not only get to wonder these questions, but we actually get to celebrate and remember the reality that God has responded to that wondering reality in our hearts, right? That as children, but also as adults, and every age in between, we find ourselves wondering questions about God. Life happens around us, doesn't it? Things develop in our lives. All kinds of news makes its way into our lives, some of which is very close to us, and some of which feels really far away. But no matter what is happening, God has made us, every one of us, with a wondering spirit about God. I wonder what God is like. I wonder how He feels. I wonder what God thinks. I wonder what it would be like to know God and to not just have to wonder about God. And in response to that wondering, God has done something. And I don't want you to ever get too familiar with this story that you forget the essence of it, that you forget what it's about. And I would offer that to all of us in this room. Maybe the Christmas story tonight is really familiar to you. Maybe it's a story you've never heard before clearly, and that's why you're here tonight. And probably all of us find ourselves somewhere between foreign story and a really familiar story. But the story of Christmas and the story of Jesus' birth is that God took away the wondering. That God met us in that place of wondering about God. Not just what God is like and what does God think and what does God feel, but I wonder if God cares about me. I wonder if God sees me. I wonder if God takes note of me. I wonder if God has anything to say about me and my life and the people I care about and the things that are going on. I wonder. And in response to that question, that is the human question, the question that defines and is at the very core and center of human existence, God sent His Son. The Scriptures tell us about Jesus that He's the visible image of the invisible God. That He, if you want to know about God the Father, look at God the Son. That is to say, in Jesus, God has come close to us. He has come into the front row of our lives, and we celebrate that. The big word for it is incarnation, that God has incarnated Himself, that He has taken on human flesh and become like us. The Scriptures say that He dwelt among us, that He lived among us. A tabernacled would be another way of understanding. That is, He pitched a tent among us. Are various ways of translating the first chapter of the Gospel of John, that Jesus has come near to us. And in doing so, He has made it possible for you to no longer wonder about God. You get to actually see the threads. You get to actually smell His skin. You get to actually look in between His teeth. You get to actually have a front row seat to who God is. The story that I just read a few minutes ago from the Gospel of Luke is fascinating because it says this very thing that I just said. That is that God came near to humanity. That God sent His Son to come close to us so that we would no longer wonder, does He care? Is He there? What's He have to say about this or that? That in Jesus, the answer was given to our wondering, yes, I care. Yes, I'm here for you. Yes, I want to be near to you. Yes, I want to be intimately involved in the details of your life. Those are all the messages that are wrapped up in God sending His Son to be near us. But I love that the story continues. Does anybody remember, not a big test, but do any of you kids remember what were some of the primary characters in the story I just read? The ones that kind of had angels talking to them? Yeah, they were shepherds, weren't they? And here's what happened in the story. God sent His Son, Jesus, to this town and in this way and told the shepherds, hey, I'm coming close to you. I'm going to come and answer your wondering. And they had a decision to make out there in those fields. God's come close to us, but are we going to go close to Him? He's come from heaven to earth. He's taken on the form of human flesh, and He's come near to us. And here's what I love about this story. So many things I love about it, but I love this perhaps more than anything else. Do you know there would be a lot of ways for God to come close to us that would cause us to want to sit there? Actually, they're there. Think about all the ways that God could have come close to humanity that would have caused you and me and the shepherds of that day to say, I'm intimidated by that. I'm wondering what He might say. Notice how He comes. He comes as a baby, lying in a manger, approachable, vulnerable, welcoming, unable, if you will, to resist those who are willing to draw near to Him. I'm certainly in this place and at this time not going to go into all the details of my life, but in the recent weeks, we've had some things happen in our lives that have caused me and my family to wonder. And I bet there's some things that have been happening in your life that are causing you to wonder. Is God there? Does He care? Does He have anything to say to me and to my situation? What does He feel? What does He think? Is anybody home? And when you find yourselves in those places, perhaps tonight, tomorrow, and in the days ahead for the rest of your life, the good news of the gospel that I have the great privilege to tell you tonight is that God is near. And He's demonstrated in His Son Jesus that He cares, that He loves you, that He's interested in the intimate details of your life. And He has already come near. I found myself in a hospital room a few weeks ago, and I had one question. Where's God? Is He close? Can I feel Him? Can I know that He's present? And in that moment, I needed to be reminded, I no longer need to wonder that question. He is close. He is near. And He has done, through His Son, what He needs to do to come close to us. The real question that I should have been asking, and I've since that night remembered to ask, is will I be like the shepherds and come near to Him? Will I remember that He has come in a form that invites me to step to the very front row and to see Him as He truly is? My prayer for you tonight, beloved, because God has made it possible for us to all be in this space at the same time, is that you would be honest with God, that you would respond in honesty to His coming close to you, and letting you and me and all of humanity see Him as He truly is through His Son Jesus. And if you would be willing to wonder, I wonder if I'll draw near to Him tonight. I wonder if I'll allow His presence, His intimacy, His nearness, His proximity to bless me in such a way that would cause you to leave as the shepherds did and say, I got to tell people. Because I've been near the God who has come near to me. Let me pray for us all tonight. Father, I thank You tonight that You've taken away some of the wondering. That we need no longer wonder if You're there and if You care and how You feel and what You think. We thank You that You've made Yourself known and that You've done it in a way that's accessible, in a way that is unintimidating, in a way that allows us to approach You without fear, that allows us to respond to Your gift of love with all of our lives. And Father, I pray for every person here tonight that we would not simply celebrate You by coming to a worship gathering, although we're grateful for the chance to do so. I pray that we would not simply think about these things, that we would not simply consider these things, but that we would actually respond to these things by drawing near to You, by approaching You, because You have first approached us through Your Son. We bless You tonight, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May You do a great work tonight, encouraging and strengthening us, Your people, as we draw near to You, because You've drawn near to us.